Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of
Jolly Ranchers.
I'm like losing my voice, but we are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I'm your pop culture and sports nerd, Allie.
I am your classic nerd, V.
And I'm V, I'm your comic book nerd.
I was just trying to say that I ran out of Jolly Ranchers.
You like putting things in your mouth and sucking on them, huh?
Set myself up.
Yeah.
I set myself up.
Yep, that's what you get, bro. Don't fucking lobster.
I had a couple here, but I think they're gone now, and I'm sad.
Like, I feel like you shouldn't be eating as much candy as you do.
I don't eat that much candy.
But you eat more candy than you should.
I don't eat any candy.
You're a pre-diabetic.
How am I a pre-diabetic?
Everyone in your family has got the diabetes.
I have candy like once every month at the most.
I feel like it's too
much. I don't have a sweet tooth. Compared to, out of the three of us, I probably have the least sweet tooth. I don't like sweet stuff. I don't like candy. Yeah. I don't like desserts. I like yogurt. I like frozen
yogurt. Nice, yeah.
Every once in a while. I'll admit that. I do like frozen yogurt. But I'm not a big sweet tooth person.
No?
You know, like my mom has a sweet tooth.
Oh, yeah,
my mom
yeah.
loves chocolate.
She needs to eat that jalebi and
she
stuff.
She loves chocolate and stuff like that. I don't. I don't know. You have a sweet tooth, don't you?
I can every now and then. Well, it's because you feast on like the blood of the innocent for your dessert. So it's like
I'm feeling really attacked right now.
So it is a little bit sweeter than you know old
virginal blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Virginal blood. What about you? You have a sweet tooth?
On occasion, it depends on what I'm eating.
Yeah, I'm not a. It's just I like looking at desserts. I love making desserts. I'm really good at making them.
And this, who are you to judge, man? You fucking drink and smoke and all that other bullshit. You
know, out of the two of us, you're going to die first.
Probably.
This is the reality. I will live forever.
I'm going to get murdered by somebody.
No, you're going to die first.
Oh, wait, no. You're probably more likely to get murdered than I am.
I am more likely to get murdered.
So maybe you'll die first. V's going to outlive us both.
No, I'm going to outlive all three of you.
How? Because you've...
All three of us, huh?
The empty chair.
Empty chair. What are you, Clint Eastwood?
Disintegrate before I die.
This is Barack Obama sitting here.
I will live forever. Because I've made deals with the devil and shit.
You know, right, so. And that's the virginal blood you drink.
I will live forever.
So it works.
I have to give him virgin sacrifices.
He's like Marie Laveau from American Horror Story.
Yeah, I have to give him a virgin sacrifice once a year.
Papa Legba.
She gave like a baby or something.
Yeah, she had to sacrifice a baby to Papa Legba.
About the baby sacrifice shit. That's not me.
I didn't watch American Horror Story.
Is that why you live so close to middle school?
That's really fucked up. That's really fucked up. Can we stop? We're going to end up on a watch list of some sort. Like,
some of our listeners can't live next to a middle school. Yes. It is what
really
it is.
Fucked up. They have to be a certain number of feet away.
Yeah, it's because they got drunk and pissed in public.
Yeah, whatever.
One of those people.
Whatever it is. Yeah. So we've had an interesting weekend.
Bro, I'm
all
dying.
All three of us. We were away at conferences and conventions.
Yeah. V went to WonderCon. We went to AfghanCon.
We went to AfghanCon. V went to WonderCon. How was WonderCon?
It was absolutely marvelous. My favorite convention of the year.
It's in Long Beach.
Really? You prefer WonderCon?
It's in Anaheim.
Whatever, same shit. Yeah.
You prefer WonderCon to Comic-Con?
WonderCon is San Diego Comic-Con with the bullshit.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Because San Diego is so big it's so frustrating and it should be called Line Con because it's literally all you do.
Just lines?
It's frustrating, it's stupid, and the convention itself, because it's so big, they don't give a fuck about you because they know they're just going to fill your spot if you decide not to go.
Fair enough.
So it's a whole lot of bullshit without really any heart. Whereas WonderCon is about half the size, but still huge. And everyone there is really cool. It's got a good energy. It's a lot more personable.
Energy.
Okay, cool.
It is a great convention. There was a couple. Jim Lee was there this year. Also R.A. Salvatore.
Famous from the novels.
Yeah, was it Drizzt?
I don't know who.
Drizzt Jordan.
Yeah, the Black Elf or whatever.
He was
the Dark
very
Elf.
Famous for writing fantasy novels. He was considered one of the preeminent fantasy authors.
I don't
when
read
we
books.
Were growing up, specifically in the kind of D&D realm. He wrote a lot of Forgotten Realms books.
Plus Patrick Rothfuss.
Yeah.
Was there for? I think he did King Killer Chronicles. Yeah. I think is his claim to fame.
It's nerdy without all the excess.
Okay, what was your favorite part of it?
My favorite part was making money because I was working.
Oh, you were working the whole time?
Yeah, I was working. I didn't get a chance to see much of it, but WonderCon in general has always been a great convention because it is really the most stress-free and amazing time, and it's big enough that it's worth going to without it being ridiculous.
My buddy Arnie was there and he kept sending me photos. He was dressed as like
your bunny.
My buddy Arnie
is the one with the book.
Yeah, Emotions by Arnolfo.
Yeah, he actually messaged us on Instagram because he had just had his first podcast interview.
Yes.
What book did he write?
He wrote a book called Emotions. It's a sci-fi book about a guy named Jason something.
What's his name?
Arnie. Arnolfo.
Yeah. Carrero.
He's this guy. The beardless Waldo.
Yes.
You run into him at all?
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw people...
Let me see.
A couple people that were dressed as Waldo, surprisingly. I don't know if I saw him or not.
Right. But yeah, he's a nice guy. He had his first podcast interview today, or this weekend, on some podcast.
What did he message us?
He did. He just said, hey, finally got a podcast
interview. We should interview him on our podcast.
Yeah, we will one day. He was on the Indie Hour with Derek Bourne. That was the podcast he was on.
Shout out.
Shout out to Arnie.
Absolutely. Fuck Although there up, was...
Wrap your brand.
I will say that... I was inundated with some ridiculousness this weekend because you guys know who Chance the Rapper is.
Yeah, I like Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, I saw him on Twitter the other day, and I was a little upset because we had talked a couple weeks ago about tone deaf ads,
mm-hmm.
right? And he had brought my attention to something on Twitter. There's a Heineken ad
mm-hmm.
that is for Heineken Light,
mm-hmm.
where the bartender slides a Heineken Light bottle across the bar.
Okay.
Across like three black people, and then a white person grabs the bottle and drinks it, and then it says sometimes light is better.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh.
Whoa.
Well, that's a.
Whoa.
Well, that's something.
So you want to fucking talk about tone deaf ads or tone deaf companies?
Yes. Yeah. And the Heineken is a German company, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably not the best thing to be doing.
No, they're Dutch.
They're Dutch.
The Heineken experience is in Amsterdam.
The owner of Heineken got kidnapped.
What?
Yeah,
by the Germans.
Famous, very famously, the story of Heineken. He was kidnapped by a bunch of amateur kidnappers who were trying to make big bucks. They made a movie out of it.
Did they?
Anthony Hopkins plays Heineken.
I gotta check this out. I don't drink Heineken.
Yeah, it is weird too because they did this. They did a whole viral ad thing where they put two people of differing opinions. There was like a meninist and a feminist.
Oh yeah, they did that.
Right? So that was stupid.
And then they made them and they had to like build a table or some shit. Dumb. Yeah, like they did that a little while ago.
Yep, stupid.
Yeah, fuck Heineken. Yeah. You know what? I don't drink their shit anyway. And fuck you and your stupid ads. You know what else, bro? Fuck the city of New York.
Dear Lord.
Wow. Well, I'm going there. Mm. I'm going there. Hey, if you're listening
to New York. I've been to New York before.
I like you guys.
It's cold.
Fuck your city. Godforsaken city doesn't realize it's spring, goddammit.
I'm okay with the cold. I'd much rather be cold than be hot.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's because, you know...
No, New York cold's different from California
it's cold. It's got a biting chill.
Listen,
yeah.
This is the first day of spring. I fly in there and there's a snowstorm.
It's a snowstorm.
Like, make up your fucking mind, right? It's not supposed to be snow in spring.
30-degree weather.
Well, you know, climate change doesn't exist, fellas.
Yeah. So look, man. I fly. I get there. There's snow. I'm snowed into my cousin's house. It was cool. I got some pizza. That was all right, you know.
A New York pizza.
Overrated.
Ooh.
I'm not sure if I'd go that far.
But it's great.
It was good.
It's good. It's good, right? It's great.
I will say the city is overrated. Pizza New York is overrated.
You know what those crusts could use, Ali? Some ranch.
Don't say it. Shut up. Some ranch. Shut the fuck up.
I'm just saying,
that's
right?
That's unfortunate.
Dear Lord. All right, so if it was overrated, what is the best pizza in your opinion?
What is the best pizza?
Yeah. California doesn't have
Domino's.
No, we can't. Oh, fuck you. Wow.
Turn your own mic off.
California Pizza Kitchen.
No. I'm about to hit you with a chair, dude.
Pizza in California sucks.
Yeah, no, you can't find a good pizza in California.
You can find good pizza at mom and pop shop.
You can't find one that's like out of the ordinary good.
I got you. Mom and pop shops are good.
Shameless plug. Valentino's Pizza in Alexandria, Virginia.
Whatever.
It happens to be my sister-in-law's pizza shop, so shameless plug. Whatever. But
no, I was a... It's okay, there's a couple good things about New York. Both of us, we went there for this thing called Afghan Con. It's not called Afghan Con.
Basically,
Afghan-American conference. but I, first of all, the city was overrated, in my opinion.
Mm.
In that it's like, there's too many people, it's too noisy, it smells, it's messy. I was
you were in Brooklyn?
I was in Brooklyn.
Oh, you were the hipsters.
Just right off the bridge, like when you cross the bridge.
Super hipster.
Right there. It was a nice hotel.
Yeah, by Williamsburg.
Yeah. It's a good things about it. It's awake at all times.
Yeah, it's true.
For those of us that are of a nocturnal breed,
I was partying until 4 in the morning.
You could eat whenever you want, go out whenever you want. There's something to do, right? I was out to like 3 and 2, and it wasn't like... Oh, there's nothing to do. There's things to do. There's places open. You were eating. So it was nice. Diversity. Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah.
We live in an area that, unless you're on campus, there's not a lot of diversity.
It's like, all whack.
UCI here. Is really diverse, but Orange County is not.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, white or Persian?
It's really white. Like, yeah. You don't realize how white it is until you're in New York.
Oh, unless you go to like Westminster or Garden Grove.
And then even then, what you see is you see populations, but you don't see diversity.
It's true.
Right? So you might see Vietnamese population. You may see Hispanic population. You don't see diversity in the sense like you're not going to run across a lot of hijabi food runners.
That's true.
You're not going to run across a lot of Jamaican, you know, people walking. Like, it's just not the reality. Whereas everyone who was my Lyft driver, everyone who was there, everyone who was walking about, people I met were from everywhere.
That's true.
It is a microcosm of the world. Every culture, every... So the diversity was nice.
Yeah.
Because that naturally breeds into what? The food.
Yeah.
The foods. Any type of food you can imagine. There. Mm-hmm. Not so much in Orange County.
Let's
be real. You know what turned me off about the city? All right.
Hold on. But what doesn't work about the city is it's loud, it's stinky, and there's always traffic.
Yes. So
it's most cities, though.
Yeah. Friday.
New York. I mean, London's not that bad.
Friday.
Traffic in London sucks.
Yeah.
Well, technically Saturday morning, 1 a.m., Ali and I are heading back to our respective hotels.
Yeah.
We stopped by a bodega.
We did.
We stopped by a bodega.
Was it a bodega?
It was a little bodega.
We got water. Yeah. You got that fancy water.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Essentia. Higher pH
hipster
levels.
Hipster water. I got regular water. Yeah, something.
Yeah, Poland Spring.
Poland Spring. It was good.
Yeah. It's better than Arrowhead water.
It was good water.
Ali and I are then we walk because Ali hadn't eaten, so he wanted to get a slice of pizza.
I hadn't eaten all day and I had felt funky.
So he wanted a slice of pizza.
So I got a slice of pizza at that place.
But
they were open late. It was 1 o'clock.
On the way to the pizza place, little Asian man
started peeing.
Just started peeing on a fucking bunch of trash. On the sidewalk.
Piles of trash. Why do they put trash
on the sidewalk? Yeah, why do they put trash on the sidewalk?
Because that's where the trash people get it.
But why don't they have trash cans?
Some people do. Some people don't.
It's stupid.
I get it.
Yeah. And why was he dropping trash in front of us? Like
he was dropping trash. Shamelessly, you know,
not going to some alley or finding a tree.
He didn't want
to
get stabbed.
I'm gonna pee on the sidewalk on this trash.
Penis out
in front of all these people.
Waving that thing about.
Yeah. Hey, I don't give a shit. It was cold out there.
The pizza, by the way, it was good. Yeah. It was cold by the time I got back. It was good.
But yeah, I mean, it's good.
I liked it. I like a New York pizza because it's a chewier than other types of pizza because of the cheese.
Yeah. Right, lots of cheese. Whatever, man. I had fun. I partied hard.
He partied a lot. We've mentioned this on the podcast before, but the Diz is a functioning alcoholic.
I'm the best functioning alcoholic you'll ever meet.
He went out. What was that? You went out to like 5. You were up to 5.
Yes.
He got in before everyone else did, though, to the conference.
Sunday morning, I was out till 5 a.m. That's when I went to bed. I went to bed at 5. I had to be at the conference at 8:30, so I woke up at 7. Right? Woke up at 7, got there at 8:30. Fucking organizers of the conference weren't there.
I wasn't there. I didn't get there till 9.
Yeah. I was literally the first person in the building.
I didn't get there till 9.
The security guard's like, hey, where does the food go? I'm like, I don't know. Like, let me go find one of the organizers. She's like, you're the only one here. I'm like, what do you mean I'm the only one here? They said the thing starts at 8:30. I guess no one showed up.
Everyone walked in a little bit. This happens every time AAC happens. By the time Sunday rolls around, the timing gets a little lax because you're exhausted.
Yeah.
So it says 8:30. We didn't actually start till like 10.
Yeah, and I was there at 8:30. Yeah,
so the question is, though, I mean, I don't understand people are partying. So people are kind of running a little late.
Yeah.
But combine that with Afghan time.
That's true.
What does it translate to exactly?
Well, surprisingly, the African-American conference, you could say a lot of things about them, but the one thing they do well is timing.
Yeah.
They don't run on Afghan standard time. They're actually on time all the ways. They're actually very good at running a tight schedule.
Oh, that's nice.
Sunday's the only time where they kind of let loose a little bit.
It's because everyone's out.
Because everyone's late.
Yeah,
but in general, they run a pretty tight schedule.
Yeah.
It was fun. We enjoyed New York. Mm-hmm. Diz ran a workshop on Sunday. I gave the keynote presentation.
Yeah.
And a workshop on Saturday on both of them history sessions.
I got a minutia session.
A minutia session, action session.
Yeah, blank space. Mm. Go wild, people.
Shout out to Omar and Homaira for helping us.
And Sophie and Atik, too.
And Sophie and Atik, who did all the
programming stuff,
which was really cool. Yeah. But yeah, it was
I went viral that weekend, bro. attacked
currently. Okay, I don't think you know what viral means.
Yeah, what do you, like, I mean...
Viral. What he means by viral is not that something went famous, but that he was a virus.
Oh, okay, he was annoying the shit out of me, and they couldn't get rid of him.
You know how viruses, they attack cells and then turn those cells into other viruses?
Yes.
That's what he did. He literally ran around attacking people with Currently Nerdy stickers.
As they should have.
By the time I walked in, there was a sea of Currently Nerdy stickers.
Yeah, also...
It's not a bad thing.
Also, I should mention, he actually forgot... The stickers. I had to bring them to him.
Yeah, I forgot.
He literally took them here, put them on where you're sitting, and is like, I'm going to take these with me to the Afghan American conference. I got a text like 30 minutes later. I think I forgot the stickers. Could you bring more?
Yeah. Can't find them.
I was like, I got you. Yeah. I got you.
But, guys, we got fined $1,000 because somebody put a sticker on a grand piano. Who do I give the bill to?
Did we get fined $1,000?
Yeah, bro, you're paying for that.
I'm not paying shit for you.
V, you're paying for that.
What's your grand piano?
The grand piano at NYU.
Did you put a sticker on it?
Put a sticker on it.
Jesus
Christ. We haven't gotten fined yet, but I'm expecting a fine.
Because there's charges for shit like that. Yeah. Where do they put it?
Oh, right on top.
Yeah, we're getting fined for that.
We're getting fined, bro. Whichever one of you bastards put that sticker on there.
So we're going to start, a GoFundMe now.
I'm not paying $1,000 because your dumbass went overboard with stickers.
I didn't put it on there. I gave it to someone and they put it on there. I don't know who did it.
Someone did.
I know, but the problem is, though, literally the only way of the of anyone
why do you
knowing
admit it? Now AAC knows that you were involved. Oh wait, it says Currently Nerdy.
Yeah, exactly. You literally have our name on there.
I had a moment.
It's not my fault someone did it. I was going viral.
Jesus Christ.
It was fun times.
It was fun, but we're back. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I lost my voice somewhat.
So. I didn't lose my voice, but my throat hurt on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt. And
all
then,
them Jolly Ranchers.
And my lips.
What? All them Jolly Ranchers.
I had one Jolly Rancher. I had one fucking Jolly Rancher, you piece of shit.
Whatever, man.
Stop fat shaming me.
It's the did you not chapstick when you were there?
I did not take chapstick with me, but by Sunday, even now, my lips are a little dry.
Mm. Yeah, it's because you were in the cold. That's what happened.
I was in the cold.
God, you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
I felt like I had been making out with someone. You know when you get dry lips when you're making out with someone?
Listen, bro, we have new listeners.
Didn't you ever get that in high school when you were young? You knew who was making out because they had really dry lips? You're like, oh, you've been making out with someone.
But here's the deal, all right? We have a bunch of new listeners.
Before you realize how to take care of yourself.
A bunch of new listeners who know you as like this smart history guy, and now all of a sudden you're talking about making out and getting chapped lips from it. They don't see you that way.
I'm just pointing out that that's what people did when they were kids.
You're supposed to be like this history.
Come on, when you were in high school, you're saying that you never got chapped lips from making out with someone.
No, I did. You're not supposed to.
Everyone made out with somebody
supposed to be reading
in high
books.
School. What do you think I did in high school?
Read books.
That's exactly what I did in high school, unfortunately. I was a shameless nerd. In fact, I actually once... I hated math class, right?
Everyone hates math.
I hated math. So not Amir. Amir loves math.
Well, fuck Amir.
I'll be mean. I was so bored with this math class that I decided that for like 2 weeks before the final, I'm like, there's nothing new he can teach me. I would just read through his class. And every time he had a way of collecting homework where he would come by and he'd put a stamp on it. Mm-hmm. And then he'd shove his fat ass in your face.
Yeah.
He'd put a stamp. So what I'd do is I'd just put my homework out for him to stamp, mm-hmm. and then ignore him the rest of the class. And he'd literally be like, so Ali, you plan on doing any work today? I'd be like, oh, nope. Just continued to read. I read for 2 weeks straight in his class.
And what is
Mr.
Wessling? Was it Mr. Niesling? Wessling?
Nelson? Nielsen?
Mr. Nelson.
Something.
Okay, no, yeah, I had Mr. Nelson my freshman.
For math, right?
Algebra.
I read through his 2 weeks of Mr. Nelson's class.
He was a nice guy.
He didn't penalize me or anything. But you could tell there was disappointment in his eyes, mm. that he didn't care about his field, his discipline. I didn't give two shits about it. I mean, done.
The dude was a freshman football coach.
He was a freshman football coach who also taught math. But there was disappointment that I literally would not participate in his class and just read books.
Fair enough.
I read a lot of books because I would get them done. I'd like finish them in a couple days.
Yeah, see?
You read a lot. Had like an hour and a half in his class where I just read straight.
My theory was right. What you did in high school is you read a lot of goddamn books.
I did read a lot of goddamn books. But now here we are recording.
That wasn't a theory. We all...
Recuperating.
That wasn't a theory that
it's
he read books. Yeah, we all knew that he read books.
Well,
you're related to the guy.
It doesn't matter, V. I had an analysis based on knowing him, and he said, what did you think I did in high school? And I theorized that he read a lot of books.
I should mention that over the weekend, I also got to meet one of the other siblings of our friend Noura.
Sood?
Sood was great. I loved him because he bonded over being bald together, yes. And we both love Larry David.
Because you guys both look like him, but brown versions?
No, none of us look like Larry David, but we both love Larry David.
Larry David's a good guy to love.
He's my spirit animal.
Oh, Zionist.
An offensive thing.
Patronus.
Patronus. Yeah. I meant Patronus. I take that back. Yeah, I love Larry David. So me and Sued is great. He's probably the only doctor I like. I hate doctors.
Yeah, not all of them are bad.
No, all of them are bad.
I like Reza. Well, he's not a doctor.
He's not a doctor yet. Once he becomes a doctor, he's an asshole.
Okay, fair enough.
He's all right now. Once he becomes a doctor, he's an asshole.
Okay, cool. You have another couple more years.
It's like when they're struggling through medical school, you like them.
You see, they're suffering students.
Yeah.
Sympathize with them. It's like the doctors, fuck them.
They're all like sold out to the pharmaceuticals.
They don't. You know why I hate doctors? Because they don't actually fix you.
That's true.
They just give you some like magic pills. Like, here, go take this. Then you come back and be like, it didn't do anything. All right, we'll try these.
That's true.
They're basically witch doctors with some form of knowledge. With a little bit more knowledge than witch doctors. They do, because they guess. They do a bunch of guesswork.
What about surgeons when they actually do surgery?
Surgeons are like mechanics.
They're mechanics. They're jumped up bone saws is what they are. The people who used to amputate. They just learned how to be more sophisticated in amputations.
Hey, Wally is a doctor. He listens to us. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Wally. You're an asshole.
Oh, fair enough.
But at least your profession has made you so. You may be a nice guy. For all I know, you're probably one of the nicest people in the world. But your profession is shit.
That's true. You know, barbers used to be guys who amputated you.
Yeah, barbers and shit.
What? Yeah. Back so cut day. Your hair and then cut off your legs.
But you know the barber's pole?
Mm-hmm.
That's from blood. So they would use the towels and blood, and they would put that to. That's where it comes from.
Your daily history lesson with Ali.
You're welcome.
The more you know.
But I hate this. I've always hated doctors. They make shit up. But Sued is the only doctor I actually like. He's a very nice guy. In fact, I'm willing to forgive him his profession because he's a nice guy.
Fair enough.
But the other one I met, there's yet a sibling I have met that I haven't liked yet.
Yeah, right.
Is Noah. So shout out to Noosh.
Noosh,
who I spent the weekend with. And this poor boy tried to educate me on memes. I don't think I've ever felt... he's probably never felt that frustrated in his life because he tried to explain things and it made sense to him.
Uh-huh.
But it wouldn't make sense to me because I asked him about memes. I'd ask him about various memes.
He's 18 years old.
He's 18 years old. But it was like he
was... found a little companion to help him.
He was a translator. But what was horrible about it is I felt like one of those old people like, come here and help me with my Facebook. So what sucked about this was like, he knew he was making sense.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he was making sense. It was like we were speaking two different languages entirely. But what was horrible is that I had never felt so old in my life than when he would show me a meme and be like, isn't that funny? And I'd look at him and go, what? And he's just like, he would feel so crestfallen because he was really trying to explain it to me. It's not his fault. He knows he's right. I'm the one that doesn't get it. My head is too dense. I'm an old man. But I do appreciate his effort.
He took some selfies on my phone, by the way.
Did he?
Yeah.
I took a photo of him in a phone booth. He's a great guy.
He fell asleep. I took a video of him falling asleep.
He's a great guy. I really liked him. He was really funny. Great sense of humor. Thank you for indulging me and having an infinite level of patience trying to explain memes because it was a disaster. Yeah, I didn't know.
And thank you for giving us a review and a 5-star rating.
Shout out to him. He got
last year. You're a good man.
He got a Rick and Morty bubble.
Yeah, bubblehead. Both of them.
No, I gave him the golden Rick
statue. No, that one. I send them a consolation prize.
Oh, okay. Someone else won the other one.
Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, I think McGovern won.
Yeah.
The other one, yeah.
Something like that.
Either way, you know, I'll send them a Rick and Morty thingy.
Okay.
That sounds sexual.
A little bit, but go ahead. Send them whatever thingies you want to send them, bro.
No, don't send him thingies.
I have his address.
He's barely 18.
V, I'll sell you his address. You could breach all his security, get in there, steal his laptop,
take all the facky book.
Yeah, take his keyboard, change his keyboards up to some stuff.
Wait, how do you expect me to, if I breach his digital security, how do you expect me to steal his laptop?
I just want to point out something. Every time news comes out of some type of data breach,
uh-huh.
I feel more and more justified and righteous in my
brain. But
how right have I been feeling these days? How smug, ask me my smugness level.
What's your smugness level?
We're reaching godly levels of smugness. Godly levels of smugness.
What are you, David Koresh over here?
Worse.
We kind of already
knew Koresh has some mercy.
Well, no, he didn't. He killed like 100 people.
Now imagine my mercy.
Oh,
non-existent.
That's true. What were you saying?
Honestly, we already knew that you had that much smugness. You didn't really need to reiterate.
No, but I'm feeling evil. I'm always smug.
Yeah, right?
But like, as more information is coming out about like the shit that Instagram and Facebook and shit are doing, I'm even more smug.
I feel like on a scale of like 1 to 10, you're always cruising on a 7 in smugness.
Yeah, I'm a good, solid 7.
Yeah, you're cruising on a 7. Yeah,
I'll give you that. Yeah. It's cruising. There's a definite
level of smugness. You're about an 8.5, 9 right now.
I'm a solid 9.
Solid 9?
Solid 9.
Because of this data
breach. All it takes is one more. I want to know that Facebook somehow...
No, I think something. If you find out that Snapchat has been sending like your facial, like your face to facial recognition,
you know program, that Facebook now has facial recognition, right?
Oh, on their pictures.
Yeah,
it's been had that.
Yeah, but that's what they say. Yeah. The second you find out that they've been facial recognizing you through the camera, yeah, then I reach level 10 smugness.
Okay. Well, let me explain to people what happened with Facebook. Right. So we kind of brought up Cambridge Analytica, was it last year or the week before?
Last week or the week before.
But we found out now that Facebook knew that Cambridge Analytica was able to breach their privacy.
The data.
And they did nothing about it after they were told, right? So they got about 50 million users' data, right?
Yeah.
So they were using a third-party app called, Your Life, Your Digital Life, mm-hmm, or something, mm-hmm, something along those lines. And 125,000 people willingly used it, but because those 125,000 people willingly use it and accept all their stuff, it made it so everyone that they were friends with, right, mm-hmm, and who those people were friends with, mm-hmm, were also affected,
mm-hmm,
right? So they got about 50 million users and were able to put out like profiles,
yeah,
on how to get them to vote,
and psychological profiles.
Exactly. So they were able to put out like ads and stuff to, yeah, like kind of like make them vote a certain way, yeah, which is like some freaky shit. And they were hired by Donald Trump to do, mm-hmm, this, which
Steve Bannon was.
Yeah, his, Steve Bannon was their vice and president. And
Robert Mercer, who was Donald Trump's funder, is the owner.
Okay. Yeah. So they're facing like a lot of sanctions,
but mostly from the UK.
From the UK, it's international sanctions.
The United States has not really done much. Yeah, the UK has been slapping the shit out of them left and right.
Yeah,
data privacy laws in the UK are stricter.
Well, they're also talking about. I know they were mentioning probably bringing Zuckerberg over, yeah, for like a
for some congressional hearing. He's agreed.
Yeah, he's agreed to meet with Congress.
Yeah,
he right. Is. Now, Facebook has also put an ad out saying that, like...
Yeah, they put it out on the newspaper.
Yeah, they said that your privacy...
makes no sense. Yeah.
Your privacy is important to us because, you know, like, you give it...
No, here's the thing. First of all, I told you. Second of all...
You have a Facebook.
So, huh?
You have a Facebook.
I do have a Facebook, but there's very little information on my Facebook.
There's enough to make a profile out of you.
Barely.
That is true.
The profile that they have...
There are photos are from you from, like, your early college years.
There's enough information to say this motherfucker's paranoid. That's what they know.
A little bit.
That's all they know. But the thing about Facebook is that, one, Mark Zuckerberg himself quite openly admitted that he can... He was collecting data on people, right? Mm-hmm. He never hid that fact. Two, friends of his have noted that he said these people are stupid enough to give me their private information, like their social security.
Yeah.
Right. He's never had much respect for people's privacy in the first place. Yeah. A lot of Facebook, if you look at Facebook policies, it doesn't protect many people's privacies. True. So on one end, that's who gives a shit. We kind of know this. But the reason why this is so problematic, it's not just the Cambridge Analytica breached the data. It's that Facebook itself is doing some fucked up shit with data. Big data is scary, and it's the new thing, right? Everyone's into big data.
Okay.
What's your job? I'm in big data, right? Yeah. Everyone is talking about big data.
I work IT,
or I collect data. Cloud Oracle, securities. Right? All these kind of algorithms and shit. The problem is that it's part of the kind of two major trends. First and foremost is dematerialization, by which I mean more and more of our stuff is non-material.
Mm-hmm.
So think of your phone. Yeah. Your phone has your photographs, your contact, your phone book, which used to be a material object. It has your photos, which used to be material objects. Mm-hmm. It has your credit card information. All your stuff,
yeah,
the phone. Things that we call stuff are no longer stuff. They're mm-hmm. dematerialized into the digital.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, even now, most of our transactions are non-material transactions.
Yeah.
And which we mean we do all sorts of purchases without actual exchange of physical money.
That's true. Right. I mean, look at PayPal or Venmo, anything like that.
Venmo, yeah. Remember, I have to give you a Venmo thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you sent Venmo to Arash.
Yeah.
So all the stuff like Venmo, right? All of that is right? These are examples of it. The second trend of that is either AI or data collection,
mm-hmm.
right? When you put everything online, that means there's more of you to take and control and manipulate.
Yeah.
If your life exists, people mention that the only way to be safe from this stuff is what? To be off the grid. Yeah. When you're not off the grid, you are involved on the grid. You have access to it. Now, the problem is that the second level, the AI, is rooted in algorithms, right? Mm-hmm. And these algorithms do two kind of things.
See, it's math. These mathematicians are
mathematicians. First and foremost, they do algorithms, meaning they collect a certain amount of data and they're able to kind of curate it, mm-hmm. right? So that they're able to create profiles on every single person.
It's true.
These profiles are predictive. Mm-hmm. They're not neutral profiles. They're about what will you do. In other words, they've gotten to the point in which they're predicting people's behaviors, mm-hmm. voting habits, tendencies, likes, hates, etc. Mm-hmm. So they do that so that they can then present what? Technically, ads. Mm-hmm. You may like this. People who like this, right? Etc. Mm-hmm. But the other part of that, the algorithmic curation, is that it also controls what you consume.
Like what kind of news you get? What
information you get. You like this type of news, you should get this type of news.
Yeah.
You're likely to believe this stuff, so I'm going to give you conspiracy theories. You're likely to be inclined towards some way of thinking. So when you have an entire system built on which information you consume, or mm-hmm. controls the information you consume, and then attempts to control and shape your behavior based off of what you consume, you are now entering into the realm of where AI is turning into Skynet. The reason we haven't got to Skynet levels yet is we're just not good at AI yet.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Now,
there's we've already reached our information level and integration level is already at Skynet levels.
So
we just aren't good enough at creating
the technology. So check this shit out, right? I'm going to bring up Black Mirror in a little bit, but what you just said reminded me of a conversation I had with my friend who works in IT, right? Mm-hmm. So my friend works in cybersecurity for Capital One, yeah. big credit card company, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So he told me that there's technology out there now that is learning how to manipulate your voice.
Yeah.
So if your voice is out there anywhere on the internet, like so our voices,
yeah.
because they're out there for the internet to hear,
yeah.
they could get our voice, manipulate how we say words in the same cadences that we say it, and can fake conversations between us.
During, yeah, they've done right? this now in two different ways. They've done it first and foremost in creating, and I forgot what they're called, they have a name, in which they can literally, they create a digital version of a politician and have the politician say everything. It's like they've Vladimir Putin saying all sorts of things, but it's made digital. It mm-hmm. looks real, though.
Yeah.
And it, they can learn, control what Vladimir Putin. Then, second, it creates a type of pornography. Mm-hmm. I forgot, it has a specific name.
Where they put celebrity girls'
faces. Celebrity girl. It used to be just celebrity girls' faces. Now it actually looks like the celebrity. Yeah. It's not celebrities photoshopped on there. It looks real.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a digital creation. Now, various porn producers, not producers, distributors, mm-hmm. platforms have shot this out. I read this article on Salon.com, by the way.
Yeah.
They've now shut it down because it was too realistic, right? So they're no longer allowing it to happen. Sorry. But that's an example of where that's going. Now imagine the kind of implications of what that can do.
Yeah, you could literally, like, it could, because you're able to frame people because you're able
exonerate
to
exonerate people.
Yeah, you're able to like create a digital version of them with their voice and with their face, and it sounds perfect. So you could make shit up.
Facebook completely. Itself has openly admitted that it ran an experiment in which it would alter people's timelines to shape people's behavior. So they admitted that they did this type of stuff just for the sake of gathering information that they can do that. Tell me that doesn't bother you.
What do you mean by they shift people's timelines?
What they did is they would mess with people's timelines, ensuring what would appear first and what wouldn't and what type mm-hmm. of information would appear in order to shape people's behavior. And they got positive results that they would be able to tell, increase likes, decrease likes, things like that. Uh-huh. Now, on a superficial level, you just go, okay, well, it can increase traffic or you can make more money. But imagine employing that, which we saw, employing uh-huh. that in
Cambridge,
in political campaigns, mm-hmm. Religious acts, yeah. information, right, whether true or false. There's a lot of the implications of this type of technology and the things you can do with it are deeply problematic. I'm not saying throw big data out the window and data algorithms and collection, but I'm saying there's something extremely dangerous going on with the way our information is curated, presented, and it's being used at a corporate level to shape the democracy, but it's done by corporations that in of themselves are anti-democracies. They're not democratic. It's owned by a shareholder, owned by a CEO, etc. It's probably you have these kind of anti-democratic forces that shape democracies now.
I guess it's not surprising, though, because on the social platforms, that's kind of our integration into the mainstream now, or creation, and I don't think it's too different from, say, people in the cults in the 70s, right, where it's when guys like Jim Jones or whoever else are the ones that control the amount of information or what information that you're getting, the world is ultimately shaped by that. So Facebook, although they're not forcing you or compelling you to look at anything specifically, the fact that they're changing your timeline to be surrounded by that, and a lot of times that's the only connection to the outside world that a lot of people have.
It's true. I get a lot of, I read a lot of stuff on Facebook, and that's how I see a lot of things.
Yeah. Right, and you know, their excuse was, I noticed this when they had changed the timeline from being chronological to based on algorithms.
Yeah.
You saw that, right? Because I would see things a couple days later.
Yeah, Instagram did the same thing.
I may have enjoyed, but, you know, it wasn't pertinent at the time, or, you know, it was pertinent to me at the time because the Facebook believed it was pertinent to me based on the things that I was looking for.
Yeah.
That is incredibly dangerous because the way that we take in our information is almost completely from the internet now.
Yeah, that's true.
And with that being said, basically, the guy who controls what shows up on your screen is the one that's ultimately going to be able to influence you without even... It's like Inception.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like sometime Inception type shit.
Well, I mean, we're living in a world in which we're told that these technologies are inherently democratic.
They're not.
And they are, in the sense that everyone can have Facebook, everyone can have Twitter, and there is a sort of equality, a sort of radical egalitarianism in social media, right? And that everyone leverages the same type of sort of
social capital
access, right? No. Not necessarily social capital, because people's social capital varies, but they have the same level of access, right? But the problem is that the what's behind the curtain, right? The wizard behind the curtain is not democratic. It's owned by a select group of people, a select group of engineers, a select set of algorithms that we don't participate in the creation of. We're shaped by it. We're influenced by it. It curates our information, but we, in turn, don't have a say in its creation. We have no say in how it is used. We have no say in how it is shaped. We have no say in how it is deployed. These are all seriously that it is a one-way street that is presented as a two-way street. And that kind of level, that kind of reality with this level of integrated technology is a serious problem. Because it isn't feasible now to live off the grid. Sure, you can get rid of social media. You can get rid of Facebook or Twitter and whatnot. You're still got a cell phone. You still have a bank account.
Yeah.
If you have a credit card.
Right?
Yeah.
And those bank accounts, it's no longer like, I mean, back in the day, we had bank accounts for ages. But now those bank accounts are now digital.
It's true.
Everything's online. Everything online is digital.
Yeah.
This leaves us at a level of vulnerability that we don't really realize. I think we're just coming to terms. Cambridge Analytica, Facebook breaches are kind of making us sort of go, but we need to be more, if you're not alarmed by this, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, but here's the thing, there's a lot of shit like that, like putting all your stuff on Facebook, because we're talking about it could build a profile of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys watch Black Mirror at all?
Mm-mm.
So, one of the episodes, this lady lost her husband, right? Mm-hmm. She lost her husband, there was a way, like this prototype thing where she could talk to her husband on the phone, right? Based on like the conversation, based on the stuff that he posted online and like videos of him with like his voice, she was able to have conversations with her dead husband, and he was able to respond the way like she would have had he been alive because of the stuff he posted based on the profile of him. Then they were able to like predict his moods enough to where they made like this prototype body of him.
Mm-hmm.
So basically she had her dead husband return from the grave. Like, it was the craziest thing I've seen. And they're getting close to that.
Yeah, and also raises questions of ownership, right? Who owns this information? Facebook is quite open about this, that we don't own any of the things that we put on Facebook. Our photos, they own our photos.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I try to limit the number of photos that I put on Facebook.
Oh, is that why you don't let us tag you?
That's why also I don't let people tag me, right? Mm-hmm. I untag myself from photos. One, because I like to control what's on my timeline, right? So that only the photos I approve of go on there.
Yeah.
Right? Also, it helps me avoid any unflattering photos. Okay. But more importantly, it has that nice convenient, but more importantly, it's because I don't own those photos. Right. Facebook owns those photos, right? And that's problematic for
so
me.
So what, they could just use our pictures?
They can use your photos stuff? For anything. Now, they don't normally, or they're very careful about that. They're very careful to keep up the semblance of things, but we don't own anything on Facebook.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was the thing. Remember back in the day, those stupid viral marketing.
Status update bullshit. Yeah.
It never does anything. The reality is that Facebook does own that. The Facebook owns your information. Yeah. Everything you put on Facebook, Facebook owns, because what it is that the outside portal is public.
Mm-hmm.
But the inside is technically private, right? Now, I'm sure you could say it's a publicly traded company or whatnot, right? But Facebook is a corporation. Corporations act as private spaces that are sold publicly, right? So you have your private information, all that information being basically shouted from the rooftops of somewhere. Anyone who's listening owns it.
Yeah.
You don't own it in any way, shape, or form. That ownership question is a serious problem, right? The same thing with Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can post stuff on Twitter, and many times that stuff ends up elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have to credit you. They do as a sort of courtesy, but the reality is because you don't own your information on Twitter. You don't own your information on Instagram. You don't own any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're...
If I had an idea for something and I posted it on Twitter...
Someone else can take it. Perfectly legit.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you don't own the data, who does? And what does that mean?
It means we're screwed.
There's actually a professor last semester who works for like a real estate website too. He actually brought up an interesting point. He goes, if you really ever want to see how little control we have, all you have to do is read the terms of service for anything.
Yeah,
iTunes, Facebook, etc. If you actually went and poured through those terms of service, you would understand how screwed we really are.
Yeah.
Right? Because they literally... But the thing is, though, we naturally... And they know this. We naturally go, I agree, and then click continue. Mm-hmm. No one ever reads the TOS, right? But he actually brought up something that was really scary. He showed us this one. It's like the website that he uses is essentially like for people looking for high-end luxury real estate type stuff, right? Literally, the portal for the people who own or who run the site, you can literally concurrently see for marketing purposes what every single person is actually doing live while on the website.
Yeah.
So
like what websites they're on?
No, from that website specifically. So
they can see what you're doing, like.
Yeah, they can literally see what you're doing. They can see the cursor moving in real time.
Oh, okay.
And everything, like what you're clicking on, everything else. And they use it for marketing purposes because he goes, all right, well, I know older people, right? They're going to use, a lot of times when they're reading, they use the cursor to kind of
highlight
what they're trying to read.
Yeah.
So we know exactly what they're looking for specifically in the paragraphs that we wrote. Really? And then we tailor marketing to that, right? Yeah. What's even worse is that he goes, we have the ability. The program that we're running has the ability. We know every single password. We can log into anyone's account. Technically, the company itself doesn't allow us to, but that is not. But that is a company policy. It's not the actual program. The program will let us log into anyone's account when we want to.
Yeah.
So people's passwords and everything, they may seem like they're being secure, right? But there's always someone behind the scenes who has access to all of it.
Well, look at Microsoft, right? When we first started using technology, we had things like Microsoft Windows 95.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Windows 95 is an operating software on a laptop or a computer, back then a computer.
Yeah.
Right? The new operating softwares are actually... don't exist on the computer itself as we know it, right? Yes, the operating software is there. All the information that you put is accessible to Microsoft employees, though.
Oh, shit.
That's what we don't get, right? If you look at how Microsoft is designed, it's designed as actually the internet. Your pictures are at a web address, www whatever, right? You actually have a search bar. You actually have a toolbar at the top. Look, go open a folder. Open a folder and look at what it is.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying on any type of Microsoft, it's the same thing with a Mac, right? They're actually all connected online. When you log on, right, you log on with a Microsoft password. It's the same password that you use online for any type of Microsoft purchases. There's a kind of funny anecdote to this in which a guy was called tech support. He was fucking with Microsoft tech support in which he put up a bunch of folders and says like, Sarah nude, something nude, Cindy nude, etc. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a picture of naked mole rats inside. And he would call tech support and ask him for help for all of a sudden. Tech support would take over his cursor and work on, and he would just watch, and he filmed the entire thing as the guy would go over to the nudes, double click the nudes, and bring up the naked mole rat. And he'd be like, look, dude, I just caught you. What are you looking at?
Yeah.
You're looking at a naked mole rat. Why'd you bring up a naked mole rat? It was done as a prank. But it's an example of that they have entire access to your computer. Your computer isn't disconnected from the internet. And it's not just that it's connected to the internet. It's that your computer is the gateway to the internet now. Whereas in the past, something like Windows 95, etc. and whatnot, were computers that had access to the internet as a sort of option. These things are built around the internet. That's their primary function.
Yeah.
Meaning they're completely open. So sure, they may not be open to the average Joe on the street, but they are open to some guy at Microsoft.
It's true.
They're open to some guy on Facebook. So you can go, oh, well, I'm not going to use Facebook. Oh, I'm not going to use Instagram. Oh, I'm not going to put anything on there. But you've got photos on your laptop.
Yeah, and you can't, there's no other way for you to, because then they're on their phone, they're on your digital camera. Right. You're going to want to upload them at one point or another, right? So they end up on there anyway. What's crazy to think, it's the reason to think about, though, because when we
dying on our podcast.
I can't help it. Fucking New York. Shitty weather.
When we were growing up, there was a majority of the time our computers were not connected to the internet because we had to actually dial up, remember?
Yeah.
We were dialing into the internet. We actually had to connect to the internet before we were able to use
your computers are now already connected.
Yeah. And even when you're not there, technically still connected.
This is what I'm talking about when I say dematerialization, meaning that things are already in the digital, right?
We're fucked.
So now what happens if the digital side, if everything's already there, what happens to the other side of that technology when you have algorithms that are trying to curate information about you and curate information for you? We knew they have access to both of that, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. In the past, the newspaper curated information for you. But it didn't curate information about you. The thing about the internet and the thing about Facebook and social media and et cetera is that it does things that were considered separate realms of activity all together, right? The newspaper article isn't running a profile on you. New York Times isn't running a profile on who you are. They don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You just, but what they control is the information that you digest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you have the information being digested, the information that is being produced because it often runs stories about itself. And at the same time, it's gaining information about you. So it's learning, teaching, and controlling all at the same time.
So all those Snapchat videos of you brushing your chest hair, someone from Microsoft is watching that
shit. That information is all part of, I mean, that level of, all those activities are under the control of Facebook.
So basically, even the gross ones. What you're saying is we're fucked.
We're fucked. Black Mirror is a reality. The only reason we don't live in Black Mirror's time is we're just not good enough at it yet.
That's true. We're inept.
The lucky thing is we suck. But if we were any better at this, we would have Skynet. We would have Black Mirror. We're in a very, very
But we are slowly time. Creeping towards that regardless.
Yeah,
right? I mean, Zuckerberg and Elon Musk already had to shut down a couple of things.
Yeah, because they were doing some funky shit.
Seriously, there's some...
learned a lie.
There's some backdoor shenanigans going on.
The algorithm learned a lie. The AI technology learned a lie. We're just not good at AI right now. It's also one of the reasons why Hawkins and others were very clear about AI being extremely dangerous.
Yeah, so that Age of Ultron shit is closer than we'd like to admit.
No, it's not going to end up like Age of Ultron, literally, but we are in...
Everything's...
The subtle changes to the way we think... Those are things that we've been problem. This isn't about a robot takeover of the world. It's about how technology shapes the way you think about the world and how dangerous that can fundamentally be to society, to our morals, our ethics, our principles, and so on and so forth.
I blame Pinterest.
Yeah. Now, we are going to end with some lighter stuff because we've been talking about some pretty heavy technology stuff. Let's talk a little bit about our travels because all three of us traveled. We've reflected on our... convention story, but I want to tell you guys a story about what two things that I saw while I was flying. While I was flying out, so this will open it up for all of us. Funny stories, crazy stories about travel, things you've experienced, things you've heard. When I was traveling to New York, I was sitting in front, both of the times, it was the people in front of me. It was a guy and a girl, and there was three seats on the right side. I was sitting in the window lane, the window seat, enjoying my view. The guy in front of me who was sitting in the aisle was a stockbroker or business dude of some type. Looked like he was mid to late 30s.
Okay.
Younger,
yeah.
Fit guy. He was all about the money. Mm-hmm. The girl, aisle of window seat, was talking to him, and the two of them were flirting. But they were flirting over the third person in the middle seat. The middle seat was just some lady going, please, someone kill me. The guy was so into her, and she was so into him. And she's like, yeah, I really want to learn about China, and I'm so interested about investments into China. And he's like, well, of course, you know, that's where the new emerging markets are at.
Oh, fuck you.
And the poor lady in the middle was just like, she didn't have a laptop, she didn't have a book, she just was staring straight ahead going, why me? Just
serenity now.
Watching these two flirt over another human being.
You would think, though, that she would be like, won't you switch seats with me or something?
I think there's an element of defiance. I'm not switching seats.
It's true. But then who wants the middle seat, though? It was horrible. One
of the fantastic, weirdest kind of flirting I've ever seen. It ended with him giving her business card at the end. Her business card at the end. On my way back from New York, I was again, this time I was sitting on the left side of the plane, window seat yet again, but this time I was on the emergency exit. The person in front of me, the three people in front of me, were three brothers, Hispanic, I believe Mexican from the accent.
You could tell the difference?
Slight differences between Mexican and El Salvadorian, etc. I think they were Mexican, if I'm not mistaken. But they came on the plane, and the middle brother had already been drinking.
Mm-hmm.
They looked very young. They didn't look 21 in my view, but they, you know, what it is. The middle brother was already loud. He's like, give me high fives. Come on, you fool. Right? They kept saying fool, too. And for whatever reason, his brother to the left, he was sitting in the middle, decided to ply him with even more drinks, which happened to be Heineken. This Heineken story reminded me of this.
Yeah.
They got four drinks, two each. By the time he was done with his second beer, now, just goes to show you how drunk he already was, he was threatening to beat the shit out of the third brother sitting in the window. He's like, you think you could take me? He's like, yeah, I'm going to hit you once and you're going to go down. You're going to hit me. What, you butthurt now? Because his brother refused to engage with him and would just look out the window. He's like, you're butthurt, fool. You're butthurt, fool. He just kept yelling, you're butthurt, fool. And he kept going up and going to the bathroom. Finally, the flight attendant came over and she's like, I think your brother is done. He's gone to the bathroom plenty of times. I think he's done. When he finally came out, he spent the rest of the 3-hour flight just leaning over with his head on the seat in front of him, about to throw. He wasn't good throwing up. He just died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died.
I know you have to know what that state, right?
So this was were my two fun travel stories from this weekend. Both times that I traveled, both to there and back, I was sitting with someone in front of me that was carrying on something stupid.
So the problem with airplanes is that you can't get away from that shit.
Literally, I was looking at the flight attendant like, for God's sakes, why did you give him the Heineken? He was loud and drunk before.
Yeah.
Why did you care so much about selling him that Heineken? You should have just cut him off. Should have known.
They don't get tips for it. Shit.
Yeah. Fuck.
So I got one where something like this happened to me.
Right, right.
So I was flying back from San Francisco from a funeral, right? Mm-hmm. And I bought my mom a ticket and myself one. Mm-hmm. And the flight only had like seats across from each other, right? It's a really small plane, but like, it'd be like us distance apart.
Yeah.
So I was aisle, she was aisle. That's the only ticket that they had.
Yeah.
So we get in the plane, we're early, and no one's sitting next to my mom. So I'm like, okay, mom, just scoot down one, sit in the window, and I'll take the aisle seat, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll sit next to you because she just wanted me to sit next to her.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, perfect, right? Just in case someone does come, I'll ask them to just switch seats with me.
Mm-hmm.
These two, like, teenage brothers come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time they're just fighting each other. Like, fuck you. Why the fuck didn't you bring your own headphones? You can't use mine, motherfucker. They're mine. You can't use it, right? And the other brother's like, fuck you, bitch. I paid for those. I want them. And they're just going at it. And then they're coming in. He looks at me. He's like, oh, I think you guys are in my seat. I'm like, hey, is it cool if I sit next to my mom and you guys sit together? He's like, fuck, man. He's like, this motherfucker's pissing me off, but I guess it's you and your mom, so that's fine. whole time on the flight. Luckily, it's a 45-minute flight, but they're just shoving each other, trying to steal these headphones from each other.
Leave it to brothers. Like,
they're, really. They're just sitting there fighting over headphones. And, like, I really wanted to be like, hey, man, here, just borrow mine, right? But I'm like, nah, I'm not going to give these guys
my some headphones. Indian lady tried to steal my seat in one of my on one of the flights.
And did, you were just like, no, yeah, you got to get out.
No, this Indian lady was sitting in, I was in aisle 21 or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Her and her son, she came over, her and her son were sitting at the window seat, and the thing, I'm like, I looked at my ticket, and I'm like, I'm seat A, I'm sorry, that's my seat. I'm very polite, yeah. I don't know, I'm fighting with her or anything, but I paid for my seat,
yeah.
I wanted to sit next to the window. I'm very clear about hate being in the, and she's like, no, can you sit over there, please, he really likes the window. I'm like, no, that's my seat, I'm very sorry,
yeah.
I'd like to sit in my seat. And she was very angry that she's very entitled. I've never seen someone so entitled about, and she's like, okay, fine. She comes in, we switch seats, I go back. Then the flight attendant dude came, who was also bald, maybe he felt sympathy for me because of that. He came over, he was a bald guy, and he's like, can I see your tickets, man? And she showed her tickets, like, man, this isn't even your seat. You're not even the right aisle.
Yeah.
She literally had tried to, like, jump into this extra seat out of the blue, and she had to go move back to her seat with her son.
Yeah, no, that actually happens a lot. It's really funny, because my aunt is Taiwanese, and I was talking to her when I traveled through Hong Kong, and it's really funny because, you know, she's kind of racist against people from Hong Kong.
Of course she is.
A lot of people from China also don't like people, naturally.
From Taiwan, too, I heard.
Yeah, because they kind of go...
Politically, but, from Taiwan.
Yeah. 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 Of all of them, they kind of go, people from Hong Kong are fucking dicks, right?
Uh-huh. That's because the people from Hong Kong are British and Chinese.
Yeah, and I will say, my exposure to people from Hong Kong was less than stellar, you know? But she was all like, she told me this story about how this guy who had bought a ticket to a plane who never traveled before, they said the seats are assigned, and he kept yelling about first come, first serve, so they had to kick him off the plane because he was sitting in first class.
Uh-huh.
And they're like,
first come, first serve?
Yeah, it's like, and he kept yelling about first come, first serve.
Nope,
like,
that's not how it works.
So she went to see, she's like, read it in the Taiwanese newspaper about this guy that got kicked off of the plane because he refused to go to the seat that he had paid for because he thought it was like a bus where you can actually go in there and you could sit wherever you wanted just so long as you were in the front of the line.
There was a flight in Europe where they had to land the plane. Because the flatulence guy, he was got in a fight with two Dutchmen because he kept farting and the Dutchman kept telling him to stop and he refused. So they didn't, I don't know if the story was that he refused or he was having like a medical problem, but apparently it was not just that they like, he was disrespectful and like the flight attendant's like, okay, we need to land the plane. But it was apparently so bad that people were legitimately getting sick.
Oh my God.
People were getting legitimately
what
sick.
What does someone's diet have to be?
So they landed the plane in like somewhere in Europe and they had to deplane because this guy like for literally 4 hours wouldn't stop non-stop.
Yeah.
The apparently it came to blows, the Dutchman fought him,
dear Lord.
See, once he refused to stop farting,
once again
it was lethal.
Seriously, you're stuck in this giant aluminum silo,
just sit him in the fucking bathroom.
You know,
they couldn't.
There was that
guy who destroyed the bathroom pooping. You've heard that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, right? he
destroyed it.
Just a whole whirlwind of destructive shit.
They opened the bathroom. They had to deplane the bathroom again. They had to deplane the plane again because he had done so much damage. They didn't even know what happened. Like, it just blew
up. Yeah, like, you remember that scene from Daddy Daycare? Or it's like the kids all like, I missed. And then Eddie Murphy like opens up the door and he looks up at the ceiling. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. I feel like it was a lot like that. I've had that happen to me before.
You've pooped everywhere?
No. I've had the thing happen to me before with this, with people being really annoying.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like they had to like come up to him and actually like tell them to stop.
Weren't you in a plan with like some super drunk chick?
Oh, well, I'm playing with drunk people all the time.
Yeah.
I had a flight from Austin back to LA, and the guy was sitting next to me. He was wearing an Affliction shirt, and it was him, and he had a military cut, and he was with his friends. And the guy would order Tito's vodka, two bottles at a time, and he's like, yeah, bro, what are we gonna do this, bro? And then the thing is, he was trying to flirt with girls that were on the other side of the aisle, but I was sitting on the aisle.
Uh-huh.
So he would look over and he would be talking to him, and then they would be smiling and stuff. And I'm trying to sleep the whole time, you know. And then every time he said something to the girl that made him smile, he would give me that dude nudge.
Yeah, bro.
He's like, yeah, and I'm like, you know, because I have my earphones in. I don't know what's going on.
How did you say I'm trying to sleep, dude?
Yeah, you know, and then I couldn't, obviously, right? Because the man's breath just reeked of alcohol. Oh, my God. And then when the plane had landed, he started yelling, "Go Texans."
What?
Yeah. I don't even know. I think that's a...
Texas?
Huh? I guess he was from Texas. Because I was flying from Texas.
No, people say, "Go Longhorns."
Yeah, right. Well, he said, "Go Texans." I don't know what the fuck that meant.
Oh, Houston Texans.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, okay.
I think they might have been playing the Rams or the Chargers.
So he was like, "Go Texans" and shit. And then he started talking about a beach house to these girls.
And then Houston.
Even when we had gotten out of the plane, at this point, I was trying to get away from him. But then he kept yelling. While these girls were walking away, he was still hitting on him, but he wouldn't move towards them. He just stood there.
So he's hitting on nobody.
He's hitting on these girls who are walking away from him. Yeah. Dude. But he's screaming at him. Like,
part of the problem is the fact that they've created these airplanes. I don't know if it was, maybe it's just me, but the airplanes seemed a lot bigger when I was younger.
Yeah, right. Or maybe it's just we're bigger now.
So. Maybe it is. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. But the problem is that airplanes are so small, especially in the United States. They're very small.
Dude.
Right? So they got rid of all the jumbos, right? Because that's all international, right?
I was on.
You had a middle seat?
No. So I was on the. I was on.
No, but what I mean is like the three seaters. Like you have the
aisle. I had a two-seater, a three-seater, and another two-seater. And Master P was on my plane, and he was in the
middle. Where were you flying to?
Front of JFK.
This last trip.
I was on the
left side. Two, three, and two?
Yeah.
I haven't seen them recently.
Yeah, it was a big old plane.
I used to be
That's a pretty big plane.
Yeah.
That is a big plane.
Yeah.
But those aren't as common as it used to be.
True. Yeah, not for domestic flights.
The most domestic flights are two on either side, and that's it.
Yeah, or three and three.
Or three and three.
Yeah.
Two and two is like fucking JetBlue, but three and three.
No, JetBlue is three and three.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Without the middle aisle. Mm-hmm. That middle aisle makes a difference. Those big ass airplanes make a difference.
Yeah, that's true.
And the problem is like they've shrunk the space, and they're very open about this because they want to fit more people in.
Yeah.
It's fucking sardine can.
Yeah, and that's why they beat up that Asian dude, the United flight.
Right. And they shrink the foot space, shrink the arm space.
Yeah.
Just give people a little bit more space. I think we're less inclined to stupidity and craziness.
Yeah. That is true. I don't like that that weird middle...
You got to battle for it?
Wrestling, yeah. It's like it's in a weird constant struggle.
I give it to the person who's sitting in the middle. That's theirs. And I'll just keep mine underneath. Mm. But the guy next to me on the plane flying back this time, right? I don't know if I should be like, hey, you know, thank you for not waking me up or fuck you for doing what you did. But he had to use the bathroom a lot and I was asleep.
Don't tell me he peed in a bottle.
No, bro. The guy kept climbing over me, right? He'd get up, he'd stand up in his seat, and then climb over me, and I'd freak out because I had this Indian dude on top of me, what are you doing?
What the hell? Right?
Just nudging me, hey, bro, can you get up? And I'm like, yeah.
That's fine, actually really weird.
But he kept climbing over me. So I'd wake up, and I'd see balls just what are you doing?
That is actually legitly
Don't
weird.
Don't teabag me, motherfucker.
You're climbing over people, that's weird on an airplane. Especially if you get a little bit of turbulence, that's one turbulence away from nuts
skull
on your forehead.
Yeah.
The guy fucking was jumping over me.
That's one turbulence away from
Have you guys ever had that before where you were on a plane and you're sitting in the right seat, but the person is really wrong about the seat thing, but then they try to gaslight you into thinking that you're sitting in the wrong spot?
Nah, bro.
I had that happen to me before, too. It happened to me in a train in London, actually.
I'm pretty certain about what seat I'm sitting.
Yeah. I was on the Eurostar going to Paris, and this lady came in, and she... I know specifically because I can fucking read.
Yeah.
But she sat there for 10 minutes trying to convince me that I was sitting in the wrong seat.
You show her your ticket?
Yeah. It's like, no, I sit here. I'm like, no. If you look at the diagram on top of the thing, it means that I sit here. She goes, no, it's not right. She called the person over. He looked at both of our tickets and went, yeah, he sits there. Right? But it took a really long time. And I felt like she was trying to make me go crazy.
What did she finally do?
She just sat down and didn't say shit. And then I got over it, so I kind of walked to the dining car. And then when I came back, she was sprawled out between both on both seats.
Did you tell her to move?
Well, yeah, I was like, hey, I got to sit down. So she got up, and then but it was annoying. I was very annoyed. Luckily, it was only a 2-hour train ride, right? So it's not bad. But still, I was a little bit annoyed by that. People trying to play crazy shenanigans on me.
Fuck that. Don't fuck with my
seats. If I ever... I'm looking to the day for some rich billionaire to buy an airline and fix these wrongs. One, give enough seat to everybody, enough space for everybody, right? None of this shit where you literally feel like you're in a sardine can. Give everyone plenty of space. Two, make flying affordable.
What about that Branson three, motherfucker?
Three, more importantly, feed people.
Yeah, Richard Branson owns Virgin Atlantic.
I know.
Yeah. Stop.
That's giving what I'm saying. He owns a
if
airline.
You're flying for 6 hours in a day,
mm-hmm.
Oh, you should be given a meal.
Yeah, Delta gave us a free meal.
I had a stop, that's why. So it was actually technically 3 hours or 3 hours.
Yeah, that's why.
So they screw you over. I got pretzels.
I
was hungry by the time I got
home. I got sandwiches. I got cookies. I got two sodas and a water.
I got pretzels.
You know, it's really funny because American Airlines are the worst about this because they will literally, just to cut costs, they will do what they can to not give you any extras in terms of food. Mm-hmm. Every airline I've gone to internationally, whether it be some...
International's good.
Yeah, literally between... Even from when I flew from Brisbane to Adelaide in Australia. It's a 2-hour flight. Uh-huh. I got a meat pie. They gave me a fucking meat pie in between.
Qantas? Qantas Air?
Yeah. But it wasn't
international even airlines are a lot better than
Lufthansa, right? Any
Lufthansa,
KLM,
British Airways. I love British
all
Airways.
All them, they literally give you food no matter what. I was flying in the Philippines.
LTU.
Yeah. And the Filipino Air, we had a 3-hour flight, and they gave me, literally, they would give me two meals on that flight.
What?
Yeah.
What are you, a hobbit? You need to have second breakfast?
It doesn't matter. They fed me.
The point is not how long you're traveling. It's the time you're traveling. If you're traveling from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., that's dinner time.
Yeah.
They should feed you a meal. It doesn't matter that you're only there 3 hours. You know what I mean?
Feed me, motherfucker.
Feed. Same thing. If you're traveling at noon, it doesn't matter, right? Like, this is something that they really should consider. But, you know, maybe someday I'll buy an airline.
Yeah, or they give you that fucking Stroop waffle or whatever it is when you go to Delta.
Wait, hold on.
I joked.
Yeah, no. You interrupted the most important thing
maybe
that we just heard.
I will buy an airline.
He said he will buy an airline. He just admitted to being part of the 1%.
I did not.
And
you know
what
it is?
Listen, you need to shut the fuck up so he actually does it we can fly comfortable.
This is like, every time I fly, I'm convinced that, like, a bunch of friends should get together, friends who are relatively successful, and buy an airplane together. Not an airline, but an airplane. Okay. But they can share collectively, right?
Like you and could the take Council turn, of Shamshare are going to
like
buy an airplane together?
Like take turns. Like this weekend I get it, next weekend you get it. That's like a timeshare type shit. Uh-huh. Right?
How much are you and the Council going to pay for this airplane?
You got to look up how much airplanes are.
They're expensive, man. Yeah.
It's not just that you have to buy an airplane, but then you got to house an airplane, you got to fuel airplane.
Well, we can do what that Creflo Dollar guy did and have a bunch of religious nut jobs pay for it.
Start a Kickstarter.
On that note, tell us what your crazy airplane stories are, and you can do so. Diz will let you know how.
Currently Nerdy Airways.
Yeah. It's perfect. Kickstarter for that. Facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Twitter @currentlynerdy. Instagram currentlynerdy. Tumblr currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. YouTube search currentlynerdy. Sorry. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on podcast, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Hold it in.
I'm doing it. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. B, how can I get a hold of you?
Chris, I want to give a big shout out to Jonathan Tipton. Thank you very much for the 5-star rating.
You are the best, Jonathan.
We really do appreciate you, my man.
He's a good man.
He's better than you, Yusuf. You haven't
He's
done
a
anything
good man.
Who's yes, Yusuf? Yes. Thank you so much. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my two blogs at 7crossroads.com or thesandwichslayer.com. Elite.
You can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at AAOLOMI, on my website at AliAlomi.com, or on our sister podcast, Head On History, which will be starting in a couple weeks.
You're supposed to...
Diz?
Yeah. I'm Diz. You can find me everywhere at Dizbulla. DizBullah.
For everyone here at Curly Nerdy, thank you for tuning in, and remember, stay smart, you sexy nerds.
And we love you. Unless you're the city of New York, then fuck you.